Inviting me to be here. Hallelujah. The Lord is doing mighty things. I believe all over the world. And He is not keeping quiet. He is actively working in the lives of the people and changing the lives of the people, and He's doing great things. Well, Nepal is a country that is between India and China. So small country, have very few roads, not many. If you have to go to visit your church or go to preach the gospel, you have to walk several days. My first church in the village area is after 9 hours walk all day. And then second, third, there are churches where we have to walk 7 days after getting down from the bus. So it's a long way. And many of our churches are in those Himalaya mountain areas. We have very few churches in the plains. We have only one church in Kathmandu where I pastor also. But all other churches are in the mountain area, in the villages. So thank you for your prayers, your support. Nepal has 30 million people. It's a small country, but 30 million people. We are believing that we are now 1.5 million Christians by the grace of God. Gospel reached in Nepal only in 1955. And the Lord is mightily working. Before five, six years, we are very much suppressed by other religious and even the government, because our constitution was like, if you preach the gospel, you are put in prison for 6 months. If you believe in the Lord, you are put in prison for 1 year. If you baptize anybody, you are put in prison for 6 years. That was our constitution. But recently it is changed. Now we have become secular country, but still the mind of the people are not yet changed, because we have almost 85% Hindus now, and our government is communist government right now, a coalition government. Constitution is under construction. It's going to come sometime. But this is the time when the Lord has really blessed us with the open door, because government and political parties are very much busy in their own schedules, doing their own things. But the doors are open so that we can preach the gospel. And that is one of the reasons that I choose. The Lord called me to preach through the media also, through television and through radios. There are 18 radio programs every week, once a week, but they are demanding me every day program, and there are other stations asking the programs. So, but I'm not I don't want to be in one place. I want to go to different places and different areas. So our radio program covers almost 75% of the country, and television goes over 52 countries. So thank you for your prayer and your support. The Lord really is doing great things. There was a woman who broke her backbone. And this tribe, Chepang tribe, lives in a very remote area. They some of them are still in the caves, living in the caves. And some of our pastors are going to there. When they go to the cave people, those who dwell in the caves, they run away from there. And they have to say, "Don't run away. We are your people. We speak our language." Then only they remain there and they go and preach the gospel. This lady, a widow, broke her backbone, and there was no doctor. There is no doctor. I said, there is no road. No doctor, no medicine, no roads. Nothing is there. For livelihood, they can eat only for 6 months a year, and other 6 months they have to find out roots and fruits from the jungle so that they will eat something. I visited once in this area, and there were three children crying in one home. And I asked my friends why these children are crying. They said, they have not eaten for 3 days. And I said, why? What happened? Then they told me that their father has gone to the jungle to find some roots, but he has not returned. He has not returned. While I was there in the evening, this father came with some roots. See, he cleaned it and boiled it with some salt, gave to the children. Very poor people living there. But by the grace of God, their hearts are open. They have become the children of God. And now we have 85 congregation in the area and one school for these children. They cannot even provide one pencil for the children. I have to send the money for chalk. You know chalk? You write in the blackboard. It's a very hard area. But the Lord is really moving among these people. And that's how the church is growing. Hundreds of church. Whenever my pastor, another pastor comes, pastor, there is another church, another church, another church, three more, four more, five more. It's a great challenge. And we have a Bible school from where we used to train the people and send for the evangelism. So all these things, I was telling the story about of a widow. She broke her back. And you know how she broke her back? They said that their God broke her back. The God called Aitabari. He broke her back. Why? Because she was coming to the church and he got angry and broke her back. And I believe this because I had a man, my neighbor, he also was a witch doctor. And he started coming to church, you know, in our home, there was no church. He started reading his Bible. And one night, he said, one of his instruments he used to play for, say, demonic, worship thing, and it was broken. It gave big sound, and it was broken. And he told me that, I told Satan, you broke my instrument. I don't care about that, but I'm following Jesus. Amen. So I believe that her backbone was broken by their God because he was angry. So what to do? They could not take anywhere. No hospital. They cannot take to the doctor. No money, you know, even if they carry her some hospital. So they said, let's take her to the church. So they carried her to the church. And this pastor didn't know what to do. It was not headache, not fever. It was not a stomach ache. You know, lay your hand and pray, and you will be healed, go. It was not like that. It was broken bone. But this pastor said, let us pray together. They gathered together around her, and they prayed. And I was told that her backbone was joined, and she walked back home. Later on, I met her. Later on, I met her, and our sister Shirley has that picture. Her bone is joined, and she still lives, and we provided a home for her. She is a widow. Anyway, that is just one example. People are getting delivered from demonic powers. Yeah. You know, one lady who was returned from the hospital, they said, we cannot treat her. There is no way we can heal her. And they sent her home. She was so sick that two people had to carry her to the bathroom restroom. But when she is demon possessed, she was so strong, she almost broke the wall, stone wall. She was not a Christian. Her relatives came to us and asked us prayer. I said, okay, we will come and pray, such and such date. And then Some of my youth went there, prayed over. I mean, they didn't pray. They were singing there. And after that, myself and my wife, Elisheba, we went there. We're entering the door, and she comes like, see? Just like she wanted to eat me, you know? And I said, you know who am I? And she fell down and became unconscious. We prayed over her, left her there, came home. And next day somebody told me that there was somebody coming to meet me. And I didn't know who that was. But later on I found that was this lady who was seriously sick. The Lord delivered her. You know, we prayed on Friday. She came on Saturday. She started coming to the church on Sunday. And that's how the Lord started, the people started coming to the Lord. And within 2 years, we had 200 believers coming, all from Hindu and non-Christian backgrounds. All from those backgrounds. So these are some of the, stories. I can tell you there are so many other stories. About radio and television. Television program is so effective that it can go to the place where you cannot go. For example, I met a man in a meeting. He was a religious, it was a religious meeting. We call religious meeting and we went there. What happened is this man says, I watched you this morning in the television. And when I introduced this man, he was a president of World Hindu Federation. He's a big shot. If I want to go to him with the Bible or gospel tracts, or I want to say I want to preach gospel to you, no, he will not allow. His secretary will, not allow me. But because of this media ministry, television and radio, they go right into their bedroom, right into their living room, right into their cell phones nowadays. We get many letters, many telephone calls, many reports that people are getting blessed because the Lord is in move and He is working mightily. So, once again, I would like to thank you so much for your prayers and all your supports. Don't forget to take the literature from there so that it will be a blessing for you. Now, there are some pictures. I just want to, there's a PowerPoint, and I just want to go through these pictures and we'll hear the word of God after that. Can you start, brother? Okay. Okay. Thank you, brother. Well, this is what Nepal looks like. This Himalaya mountain is just in front of my hometown where I was born. Now I live in Kathmandu, but it could be seen from my hometown, just in front of my hometown. So this is that represents Nepal. Another picture, brother. This is Elisheba. You heard many things about her. She is a great prayer warrior. She is a great helper in the ministry. She works with the children, with the women's, and everything I do, she does. She is now preaching and also doing the ministry. Another picture. And these are my two boys, Samuel, right side, and Joel in the middle. They go to the college, but they help in the ministry. Last Saturday, we have a worship service on Saturday because Saturday is a holy day in Nepal. So last Saturday, Samuel preached the sermon in the church. And I called them and asked them, how was the service? They said, I don't know how and why. So many people came. I mean, my wife told me that it was just like a Christmas. In Christmas, we get many people, The people, those who never come, they come on that day. Many, many people came, and the word he preached was anointed by the power of God, and they prayed together, and many people got healed, and some were scared. What's going on? You know, people are falling here and here and there. So that was the story. Samuel is helping in the ministry, and also Joel. So please pray for these young people, young boys, so that they will be used by the Lord. And another picture, please. And these are the places where we have church congregations now, but through the radio and television, we can reach almost 75% of the population in Nepal through the radio. And through television, I said it goes to over 55 countries. So, please, another. Okay. We also have a church planting ministry. I mean, the vision the Lord has given us is just to plant the church. You can go for the picture, another picture, brother. This is just the example of the man that has accepted the Lord. He was a Hindu and accepted the Lord and is being baptized. And Joel is helping me for baptism. Another picture. This was a woman who was demon possessed. The Lord delivered her, and she's an active member, and she's witnessing to the people, and people are coming to the Lord now. And he is a president of Nepal. Last 2 years, the Lord opened the door for me to meet different political people, including president, prime minister, and ex-prime ministers. Many prime ministers we have. I mean, you know, we had many prime ministers. So he is the prime minister. One time I met him and he was sick. He just had a surgery of his eyes, and I gave my tracts. I have written a few tracts, and the tracts was about healing. The healing provision for you. And when I handed over, he gladly read it, and he was very happy. So that was a great time to share the gospel with the president of Nepal. He sits in the middle, and the house speaker is in the right, and another party leader. There are some army people and Christian leaders at the back. This is one of the meeting we arranged and called some political party leaders also to speak. And this is one of the former prime minister whom we visited, and I handed over the tracts and shared the gospel with him. And this is street preaching. In fact, this is this was the time of Easter. We were doing some rally and distributing tracts, and they're reading my tracts. People handed over, and I also handed over some of the tracts. This is one of the main Hindu men who accepted the Lord, and I helped him to accept the Lord. And this is the Easter rally of this year, just before I came here, Easter rally of this year in Kathmandu Valley. And it's in the same place. I'm just offering the prayer. It's just heart of the town in Kathmandu City. Like I said, we have 160 pastors and missionaries who are working in the field. We support them, and they are really working hard. Well, if you recognize who they are, you might know him and her. This back is Elisheba. We are going to visit some churches. And this is a Chepang man who came to the Bible school, and now he's pastoring a church and looking after many children in his area. And this is a group of pastors and elders whom we ordained in 2011, and they are in the field now working for the Lord. This is another picture. They are appointed, newly appointed missionaries who have gone to Chitwan and Makwanpur districts in Nepal. And some of them are pastors, and some of them are missionaries, go with the gospel and preach the gospel in different places. And we also have a Bible school where we bring people, those who are interested in the in doing the gospel work. And we also bring our pastors, those who are not trained, and train them and send them back to their field to serve the Lord. So this is back is the Bible school building. We call it multi-purpose building. We use this for several purposes. And below is our church in Kathmandu. This is still a small building, and we have a plan to build another building. But if God willing, this is the church in Kathmandu, and also Bible school. This is the classroom in the Bible school. Students, 2011, this is Elisheba teaching and taking exams, I think, to the students. And these are the Bible students, Bible school students, graduate on the day of their graduation with the teachers. This is this year's students. Praying for the graduating class. And we also have a children ministry. We have nearly 400 children now in different 6 schools, elementary schools. And the Lord is helping. This is a Chepang school. Now we have over 80 children in this school. And like I said, we have to walk 9 hours to reach this area on foot. And this is another school we have in Siliguri. Saura tribal children come here. Their parents works in the tea garden, and they cannot send these children to the school. So we are helping them to, teach some of the things in the school. This is another school we have in India. Now we have 116 children in this school. This was the picture taken before, but now we have 116 students studying in this school. This is the same school with the parents at the backside, and I'm with them. And we also do the church construction, because churches are planted and many places, many new congregation has come up, so we need to build a church. So we are going to inaugurate a new building, new church building. This is Elisheba and Pratima on the way. It's a long way. We walk several hours, days, and this there. Another picture, brother. This is the church inauguration. And another picture. This is the church we inaugurated in that area. And this is another church. This is the church. So this is another church we have built. This is Pastor Habil, who looks after 85 congregation now, and we still need over 100 churches to be built, this type of church. And we also do some leadership seminars. We bring the pastors and leaders to equip them and do the seminars. This is one of the leadership seminar we did in 2011. There are the speakers in the seminar. We're having Lord's Supper. These are the church leaders who came from India and Nepal and took part in the leadership seminar. This is women's conference. Elisheba is there, and other. And this is Samuel and Joel again. They are playing instruments and worshiping the Lord. And we also have a ministry among the women's. We try to help these different women's. This widow was kicked out from by her sons. She has 3 sons. When she became Christian, a believer, they said, "You are dead now. You can go anywhere you want to." So church had her for some time, but it was very much troublesome. So we built her a house. We built a house for her. And like I said, the Lord opened the door for me to go through the media. Television and radio. I started one radio program 4 years back, and slowly other programs. This is the media. Our media ministry is registered with the government, and that means that we are preaching with the authority now. And that's why I said it is now, the door is open. And we never know when it closes, because 85% Hindus and government is communist. If they become stable, we never know what happens next. So it is very high time to preach the gospel in Nepal. If we can join our hand and preach the gospel. This is a radio station where I'm taping the radio programs, radio studio, in fact. And this is the radio station from where one of our program goes. And I'm just inaugurating this radio station because this belongs to one of the Christian men. But he does all secular programs also. And these are the books and Bibles and other materials to be sent to the viewers and the listeners of the gospel from radio and television. And the same books and gospel in the packets. This is a television studio where I'm taping the television programs. If you can go back, brother, this is back here. This is the book that, Brother Doug, this is the book I wrote. Jesus, the name above every name. Just printed 5,000 copies. They are now in the bookstores, and people are getting blessed through the reading of this book. So, and this is the car I bought. This is the new car and the first car. Okay. All right. And again, this is Elisiba and me there. So thank you so much. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how much time is left. I want to go for the word. I know you have prepared your hearts to receive the word. If my English is not good, still, you can try to understand. I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 17, starting from verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting from verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged my by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray let this child should come back him. Sorry, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and soul of this child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are the man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Amen. Well, here's a story I read. There's a woman who had a widow who had a son. He died, and Elijah says, "Give me your son." If you go little ahead of that, you can see Elijah. Elijah said to Ahab, the king there, he said, "Unless I say anything, there shall be no more then. And when he said that, God told Elijah to run away, go away from there somewhere. Verse 3 says, get away from here and turn eastward the and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. When he said there will be no more rain, God had to hide Elijah. And he said, go somewhere and hide yourself because your life is in danger. You know, your life is in danger. He stayed there for some time, and there was water he was drinking, and ravens brought the bread the God sent through ravens. He was eating that, but the water in that brook also dried. There was no water. So God again sent this man of God, Elijah, to a widow who was gathering some sticks to make some bread and eat and die. Because there was no more, there was just little flour and little oil in the container. So, but what happened is when she was gathering sticks, this man of God came there and said, can you give me water? He was thirsty, I think. And she was going to bring water. We know the story. And he said, no. Also bring bread. She said, no, I cannot bring the bread because I am a poor widow. I do not have anything. Everything is finished. I have little flour. You call flour that? To make bread. And little oil. I'm just gathering the stick so that I can make some bread, eat this much for one time, and die, me and my son. But man of God here says, give me first. And what kind of man of God is he? Elijah. He's a prophet, but he's a selfish prophet. You know, he goes to a widow who has nothing but little flour and some oil. He's hungry, she's hungry, her son is hungry. He says, give me first. You know, I don't care. You die or whatever. Give me first. And I think, you know, I don't know what this thought, but I am just amazed, because if you are a man of God, if you are a pastor, you do like that? If the people are hungry or your child is hungry, you eat first or you give them first? Oh, you make sure that they get first. Now, what about Elijah? He's asking first, give me first. I was just thinking about that, and I came to know that Elijah was not a man only, a servant only. Thank you so much. I think I have water there. Thank you so much. He was not man only and you know, the prophet only, but he was speaking on behalf of God himself. And I don't know why. God wants first. And he deserves that. He's great God. He must have the first place in heaven, everywhere in the lives of the people. And he must get first. And I believe that Elijah is not speaking for himself, but he is speaking for God. And he's asking something first for God. And what happened? We know the story. She made the bread and gave him first, and they ate. And the Bible says they did not go hungry for many, many years. I mean, you know, at least 3 years or more than 3 years. Because he spoke the word of the Lord, and this widow heard the word of the Lord and did accordingly. But later on, when he ate the bread, they ate the bread, they were living there in a house, and he was put in the upper room there, upstairs, I think. And what happens is, after some time, this widow's son gets sick and he died. When he died, this widow came to Elijah and said, "Why have you come here?" "To kill my son?" And it's really sad story. A man of God is staying in widow's house, and widow's son is dead. But when widow came with her dead son, Elijah said, "Give me your son." This is our sermon today. Give me your son. I already told you that God wants the best. But what do you do if you do not have any best? Anything best. Now this son is dead son now. You know? But still, Elijah is asking this dead son. And he is saying, "Give me your son." And what he did, he took him from her hand and took him to the upper room, upstairs, where he was staying. And if you remember the upper room on the day of Pentecost, what had happened there? Miracle happens in the upper room, where the Holy Spirit is. I mean, where Holy Spirit can move mightily, where the people are ready. The Bible says here that he took him and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Sometimes your bed even can be used for the miracle. Amen? Hallelujah. If you are a servant of God, man of God, you are saved, and if you are walking with the Lord, you don't have to be a prophet or pastor or anything like that. But if you are man of God, your bed can be used for the miracle. So what happened? He took this son to his room and prayed over him and asked the Lord, "Lord," he cried to the Lord, said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." It's not an easy prayer, you know. It's not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. Dead man is there. He is crying to the Lord, "Lord, this soul, his soul may come to him." And we know the Lord heard him, and he sent his soul back to him, and he lived. This son lived. That's what the Lord is doing even today. Because when you ask the Lord, he does the miracle. Sometimes we do not ask and we do not get. If we ask him, he can do any miracle. So, giving son to somebody. God is asking sons. Your son, my sons, for his glory, to use for himself. Elijah didn't ask for himself. He brought him, took him to the upper room, and made him alive by the power of God, and gave back to the widow. God do not want anything for himself, but he wants to use our sons for the glory and for the benefit of other people. I heard a story of one missionary. If you listen carefully, I think you'll be able to understand what this means. One missionary from England who went to India to preach the gospel. He preached whole life. He preached the gospel in India whole life. He really suffered hardship there in India. And after some time, few years, he became old. And he said, I want to go home and die there. But before I die, I want to send someone here, because the work is not finished. All the Indians are still, you know, they have not accepted the Lord. So he went home, back home, and went to his church, who sent him as a missionary, and appealed to the church, saying, you send me as a missionary, I preach the gospel, and I believe many people came to the Lord, but there are many others to be saved. He appealed to the church. Please, give your son, give your daughter. Indians are dying in their sins. I became old, I want to die here. I heard about him that. He appealed and he appealed and he appealed. Everybody is listening, but no hand is raised. No one says, I will give my son. I will send my son, my daughter, to India. The story says that he fell down and became unconscious in a big church. His name is Alexander Duff. Have you heard his name? I have not heard his name. Anyway, Alexander Duff is his name. And he fell down, became unconscious after many hours, I think. When he came to the conscience, he said, I have not finished my preaching. I have not finished my appeal. Please, take me there. He went to the pulpit, and again he appealed. Is there anybody who can give your son for India? And nobody said, I'm giving my son, my daughter. And finally he said, if the Queen of England had asked you, your sons and daughter, to die for England, you'd have happily given them to go to the army. But when the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is asking your sons and daughters, you have no sons and no daughters. And finally he said, if you cannot give your sons and daughters, though I have come here to die here, but I'm not going to die here. I'll go back to the river of Ganges in India. I will die there, and India will know that there was a man, white man, who died for us. He went back to India and died in the bank of Ganges. Friends, the Lord is asking sons and daughters. That can be you. You're also son of somebody. That could be you, you know, daughter of somebody. I don't know whom the Lord is pointing out. But as Elijah said, give me your son. That is not Elijah. I already told you that it's God asking someone. And the same way, you know, same way, there is a great need of our sons and daughters to go to all over the world. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, go to all over the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe and baptize will be saved. And those who do not believe will be, you know, they will not be saved. So there is a great need. not only in India, not only in Nepal, everywhere, all over, even in America. America needs your sons and daughters for the Lord. America has given lots of sons and daughters to die, you know. Afghanistan and, you know, Iraq and some other places, many, many, many of your sons and daughters have gone there and died there and gave their lives and blood there. What about if we pray and ask the Lord and advise our children to do something for the Lord? I'm not against going people to the army or doing things like that, but I am standing for the Lord and His kingdom's sake. So, if there is anybody who can give their lives or their sons and daughters, the Lord is asking, give me your son. If you do not have son, give yourself to the Lord. Because He wants someone to take the gospel. He needs someone to stand in the gap. Someone to preach the gospel. You know, He needs someone. And if you keep quiet, what happens? Jesus said, stones will cry out. God has a way. He will do the work. But what about us? We will lose our reward from the Lord. So this is a challenge that we must accept this morning, that the Lord is asking us to stand for Him. There's another story in the Bible. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 16. There is a widow. Her son died, and people are taking her to him to bury. Jesus comes from other side. You know the story. Jesus comes from other side. Jesus is coming with the eternal life side. He has an eternal life. Other side is the death. They met together. And you know what happened? Jesus saw the widow weeping there, crying for her son. It doesn't say, give me your son. But Jesus said, stand there. And Jesus touched the coffin and said, young man, rise up. And we know what happened. This young man was alive. And Jesus gave this son to her mother. What I think is, if we do not have the best, if something we have is already dead, even if it is dead, God can make it alive. Jesus rose this man and gave him to his mother. Still, Jesus is asking someone for their son. If you read the story of a boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the same thing happens. Jesus wanted to feed thousands of people. He asked the disciples, do you have something? They said, yes. How much do you have? Just 5 loaves, 2 fishes? They said, no, it is not enough. It's only for one person. But Jesus said, give it to me. They brought it. Jesus took it, blessed, and broke it, and, you know, gave them to serve. 5,000 ate, 5,000 men only. And we all know, where there are men, there are women, there are children also. Many people ate. When you are in God's hand, you know, God can bless anything we give. He's asking something, whatever you have. He's not asking the things what you do not have. Moses had just a stick, the rod, and the Lord used this rod. Anything you have, 5 loaves, God can multiply it. Amen? Multiply it. I don't have much. Yes, I don't have much. But God can multiply it, whatever you have. He's asking, give it to me. And when you give to him, he does the multiplication. Amen? And we know the story of Lazarus. When Jesus was not there, he died. And when Jesus came back, after a few days, several days, 4 or 5 days, then he asked, where have you put him? Where is the Lazarus? And they said, here, in the tomb. He's buried 4 days ago. He's stinking. Martha and Mary said what they said, you know. Martha and Mary said, if you had been here, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Both of them, they said. And Jesus said, you believe I am the resurrection, I am life? They said, yes, but later days. Jesus said, come on, go where he is. Give your brother to me. That means, when they took him in the tomb, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And what happened? We all know. Lazarus came out. He made alive. Gave him to his sisters. You know, God is asking something. Not only sons and daughters, I think. Your brothers, your sisters. Or yourself. God is asking something and he wants to do miracle out of that. And he wants to bless us with the miracles. So, I think we have to be very serious this morning because the Lord is asking something from us. In Malachi, book of Malachi, God said, bring your tithe an offering to me so that there will be food in the house of God, store. Malachi chapter 3, I think 9 through some verses. What I have come to know is it is always good to respond what the Lord says. You know, the Lord may be asking your sons, your daughters, yourself maybe. Maybe he's asking your finance maybe. I don't know how he's speaking to me, to you. But this morning what I realize is God is asking something. And he said, if you bring your tithes and offerings to the house of the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven and bless you. And that is God, not Philemon. That is God. I'm just, you know, a guest speaker here. God is saying, I will bless you. I will open the windows of heaven and bless you. And this morning, I want to just ask you a question. You don't have to answer me. But the thing is, are we, including me, are we faithful in our tithe, giving our tithe? Offering is extra thing, I think. You can give any amount of offering, whatever you have or you can. But tithe, the 10% of whatever you have, belongs to the Lord. That is not yours. That is not mine. I cannot eat God's tithe. You cannot eat God's tithe. Tithe belongs to the Lord. not only here, but in different passages of the Bible, when you read, God even asks tithes after tithes. If pastor is getting tithe, getting salary from the tithe, pastor also is supposed to give tithe from there. That's me. That's Pastor Doug. Anyone could be. We are supposed to give our tithe to the Lord. 10% of everything what we have. 10%. Even the tithe of our time. Somewhere in the Bible I read that tithe of our family members also. I'm not sure where it was in the Bible, but you know, tithe is very important. God is asking something from us. Not only our sons and daughters, not only ourselves, but whatever we have, we are supposed to hand over these things to Him, because we cannot handle these things. Like a little baby here. We cannot handle these things. God has given us, but we have to give to Him again. Amen? This church, Pastor Doug cannot handle this church. We have to give to Him. He's the one who helps us to handle. It's a great ministry that's going on in Nepal and India and other places. I cannot do anything unless I hand it over to Himself. And that's what I have learned. Lord, I cannot do. 100 churches, even more. How I can build? Where is money? Where does money comes from? I don't have any. Many children, hungry people, lifeless people, no gospel is preached. What I can do? Lord, I can do nothing, but I just want to hand it over to You. Do whatever You want to do. That is my prayer this morning to the Lord. Now, God said, go and preach the gospel to all over the world. Every creature must hear the gospel. How it could be possible? Like Pastor Doug was sharing a little earlier. It will be possible when you join your hands. Amen? Just one person cannot do anything. When you join your hands, what you can do? You can send someone if you cannot go. Romans says, how a person can be saved? He can be saved, you know, when he who takes the name of the Lord. How he can say Lord Jesus unless he hears about Him? And who can go and preach the gospel unless you and me send someone? This may some of the missionaries you saw, not all. I have to send them. I cannot do that. I have no way. One person cannot do anything. We need to do it collectively. So, if we can do something, if we can give ourselves for the Lord, let's give. If not, we can give whatever we have and whatever way we can. So, this morning, God is asking something from you. Maybe your sons and daughters, you can start praying. I've been praying for my sons for a long, 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 long time. Lord, take these boys. Use for Your glory. That has been my prayer. I don't know how they will live their lives in future. Now they are okay. And if we start praying, maybe God will pick some of your children. Maybe the best one. We must give the best to God. And then use for Himself. Let's give whatever we have to the Lord, because He's asking, give me your son. And He's asking son because son is so precious. You know, God asked son to Abraham, and Abraham wake up early in the morning, and he prepared himself and went to the Mount Carmel. And Lord, this is my son. I'm giving it to you. Giving him to you. God spared his life. But God wanted to test him. How faithful my servant is. So, maybe God is testing us. He wants to test us. First thing, let us give him first. I mean, the best, what we have. If we do not have the best, whatever we have, Lord, these are my five loaves and two fishes. I don't have much. Whatever we have, let's hand over the things to God so that he will take it, bless it, and use the things and the people for the glory of God. So I just want to thank the Lord and thank you again for listening, giving your time, Brother Doctor.